Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
The greatest commandment, loving God with all our soul. This morning, we're going to talk about some deep waters, and I'll just tell you, I am an infant in my understanding. I feel like this morning I am more introducing ideas than saying anything profound. But I think there are enough ideas that you might look at and go, I've never thought of that. That while the content won't be profound, maybe just the introduction will be helpful. We're going to talk this morning about how to love God with our soul. You know, the greatest commandment is to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But really, to talk about how to love him with our soul, I think we got to talk about what the heck a soul is. What's going on there? What does that mean? And where is it? We got to get our head around this thing. Otherwise, it's a bit nebulous, and I think we'll just we'll talk in parables all morning if we don't really spend some time trying to figure out what our soul is. Now, with that, I'll read this Psalm 6:3 just as a starting point. My soul is in deep anguish. This verse to me, this little phrase, it packs so much mystery that a soul can be in anguish, that a soul can be in something deep, that a soul can experience a deep emotion. Deep anguish. But if deep anguish, probably deep joy, probably deep whatever. That a soul within us experiences things. I found that to be a really intriguing concept. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the capacities of our soul. This morning, mostly these Bible verses we're going to look at and this idea, I mostly am thinking of this as prayer points for you to go back and go, oh God, what? How do I do that? Help me know my soul and know what to do and how to interact with you. And I just think this morning it's deep waters. That's the phrase that just keeps coming up to me as I've been prepping for this session for maybe a month or two. I just keep on this one, I'm just like, man, the soul is deep waters inside of us. This is intense. Our soul is multifaceted. I don't claim to be an expert on any of this stuff, but our souls, there's a lot going on in there. We are complex creatures, and our soul is kind of the center point in the core, and it's complex. We were created to experience things deeply. We were created for depth, and so even just in this little entry, you know, verse, intro, my soul is in deep experiential anguish, that our souls can experience things deeply. And I almost wonder if the deepest feels that we have are those in our soul. Well, what I hope to do this morning is talk a little bit about how we can go on the journey of trying to figure out how to love God with our soul, because in my opinion, this one is the most complicated. It's the most unusual. It's the most unknown of the love your God, Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The subject of the soul is, it's deep waters. Secondly, I'll tell you, just a little philosophical disclaimer. I'm not smart. I am not thinking that we're going to, that I'm going to really give you a lot of profound information this morning. I just want to maybe help give some language to this subject of interacting with God with our soul. I just want to give some language, and you may look at the language and go, well, I'm glad he said that, because I'm going to pray the exact opposite. I didn't like what he said. But maybe if I just say something, you'll be smarter than me, and you'll figure out how to really pray it. You'll figure out how to really talk to the Lord about it. I just want to kind of get the conversation out on the table, because I just don't think we talk a lot about our soul, talk a lot about loving God with our soul. But it's part of the greatest commandment. So, in kind of the crux of what we're talking about this morning related to the soul, I think our soul is our very essence. It's our true self. It's who we really are, really deep down. It's the real you. It's the eternal you. Now, that part I know. Looking at a verse in Revelation, the martyrs before the throne, Revelation 6, 9 through 10, it says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. So the rest of the passage describes, you know, what's going on. But I just want us to understand this. When you are slain, at least in this present hour, when you are slain, you still continue to exist without a body. You exist as a soul. But it's not a different version of you. It's the real you. It's the you, the full you, the total essence you. So when it gets down to it, what is our soul? It's the full essence of you. It's you. It's eternal. Your soul is eternal. Your present body isn't eternal. Your present body is temporal. It's going to perish. It's going to die. I look in the mirror every day. I go, oh, my friend, you are perishing slowly. So, oh, that receding hairline. Oh. But your soul is the eternal you. And so when we start talking about this subject of loving God with all of our soul, it's actually the truest, deepest, purest, realest, longest way we worship him, way that we love him. Because it's who you are. It's the real you. Now, we're going to spend a whole session on this next point. Somewhere in our soul is the capacity for emotion. Our soul is where we experience emotions at those deepest levels. You know, again, we were just looking at the verse a minute ago, Psalm 6:3, that our soul being in deep anguish. There's a capacity of the soul to experience deep emotions. And I think that's one of the ways that our soul is multifaceted. That our soul, it's not just the who we are, the very essence of us, but it's also the realm of our deep emotions. And we're going to spend a whole session talking about that because I think I'd be cheating it to talk about it in, you know, 3 minutes and move on. Also, our soul, our personality's in there. You know, you just think about that picture we were just looking at with the Revelation 6. And when you die, in this current hour, the way things are, those martyrs, their soul appears before the Lord, and it's really them. And Jesus would be able to look at each one of those souls, whatever that looks like to him in that place and picture. He looks at them and he sees them. He doesn't see like a little ball of light and go, I don't know which ball that is. Is that Jimmy or Johnny or Jippy? I don't know. It's just a ball of light. They're all the same. It's them. And when you start thinking about what makes you you, you know, we celebrate our differences and our strengths and our weaknesses. But really what makes you you is your personality. God made your personality unique. There's no one like you. And your personality is tied up in your soul, is your soul, is part of your soul. Somehow or the other, your personality is all up in the midst of your soul. Those two things are not separable, okay? Your personality, who God made you, it's a reality, it's an overflow of your soul, of your eternal nature. You know, the personality that you have, you're going to have that personality in a billion years. You're still going to be you the way you are. Now, growing, maturing, yes. You know, resurrected body, yes, if you love Jesus. But you're still going to be you. You're going to have that personality. And you'll have it in a million years. You'll be you forever. Your personality is unique. Your personality is on purpose. God made your personality. And he actually likes it. He likes your personality. Now, I'm going to share something that's maybe a little vulnerable, but I think it will help somebody in this room. And if it only helps one of you, it's all worth it to me, okay? I came to know Jesus at 18, and I was such a hot mess. Oh, my gosh. There was a lot to work out and a lot that needed refining. But I was still me, and I was loud and obnoxious, unlike now, of course. And I took it on the chin so many times in those first couple of years in Christ. I was very confused and very convicted and it was actually condemned. It wasn't conviction, it was condemnation. I thought it was conviction. I thought I had a defective personality. I want to say that to you very strongly. I want you to hear me. I'm not playing around right now. I was in a pretty stoic environment. I was in a very serious environment. environment related to how to interact with God, what it meant to love God, what it meant to obey God, what it meant to be a man of God. I was reading books, and everything was just like the complete opposite of my personality type. Everything was all like very, very serious and sober and careful. And I'm just like a goof, you know? And I remember getting rebuked. And then I think that the people that did it, they were well-intending and probably were very much products of their environment. And I recognize that even now, you know, 20 years later, we have an environment and we might well be with good intention instructing, encouraging, and even rebuking according to our environment. And it might even be flip-flop from the environment that I was in. But here's what was happening. I was being rebuked for being too much. I was being rebuked. It happened in a number of settings, you know, about the ways that I was interacting with people. And it was like, you're being too happy. You're being too, you know, excited. There was just a lot of you're being too. And I was hearing those words as though that was actual fact and truth. And what it meant to be a godly person was to not be any of those ways. Now, that may not be the exact struggle that anybody in this room has. Maybe you've got the flip-flop struggle or you've got any other struggle. But here's what I want to tell you. I went through a deep pain. I went through anguish in my soul because I thought I had a defective personality. I thought there was something really wrong with me. And I want to share this with you because it's so real and near to me. I used to pray GMMNF. I just prayed that all the time. I said, oh God, GMMF, GMMNF. And what it meant was, oh God, make me not funny. I was praying, God, make me not fun, make me not funny, make me not exuberant, make me not all these things that I keep getting rebuked for. Now, that may sound odd to you because I've become very comfortable with who I am, but I just want to tell you, I was praying that all the time because of pressures that were put on me that were telling me there was something wrong with my personality. I want to tell you, God made your personality, and no one can worship him like you can. And in fact, if you try to worship him like not your personality, that's when you're in the wrong. Because God made your personality to give him glory. Your personality is all wrapped up in your soul. It's who you are. God made you to worship him with all of your soul, to worship him with all your personality. So I've got good news for you. If you're this way, that way, or the other way, God made your personality the way that he did. Now, I did have an awful lot of learning about ways to express my personality that wouldn't be hurtful, ways that to express my personality that were definitely within the boundary lines of Scripture and ways that weren't. But it wasn't that I needed to become a different person in relationship to the way that, you know, I am, just who I am, my activities, my actions, my speech, you know, my agenda, my motives, all those things needed refining, but not my personality and neither yours. And I just wanted to share that with you this morning because I think somebody in the room needs to hear God made your personality the way that he made it on purpose with great intention and he likes you. He thought he got a really good deal. God thought you up. You were his idea. Your personality was an invention from the smartest one that's ever lived. He made your personality, and the way that we learn to love the Lord our God with all of our soul is we do have to at least have a little bit of in touch of who God made our soul to be. Who is it? Because I'll tell you right now, I love God with my soul differently than my wife, the way that she loves God with her soul. Because there's just aspects that are so deep and unique and tailored to who I am. That when we start talking about the subject of loving God with all of our soul, it's different. It is so personal. It's deep waters. It is deep waters that you've got to go on this journey. And maybe today you're like, I never really thought about these things. I think there's a world of conversation to have with Jesus about this subject. A world. I mean, lots of dialogue about lots of things. God, how did you make me? How do I best express love to you the way you made me so unique and different from everybody? How do I give you my love of soul? How do I give you all the me that I am that's gonna look different than the way that they do it and the way that that person does it? See, the other aspects, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The mind and strength and heart. There's so many of those things that are going to look very similar for all of us. But I think this subject of loving God with our soul, it's with our essence, it's our personality, it's the deep emotions. There's just a lot going on there. Okay, well, here's my objective now as we jump into some Bible verses about loving God with our soul. The objective is that we would grow in this greatest commandment of how do we love him with all. But we've got to recognize that this is an area that perhaps we're so unaware of that I don't know that I feel comfortable myself teaching or us even being able to perceive any sort of deep teaching on how to love him with our soul, because I don't even know that we're really in touch with what the heck that is. So I just want to give us some Bible verses about what our soul is so that maybe we can then, the real fruit of this message, maybe will come in the coming months and years as we've had an introduction today to you have a soul. Your soul is also called to worship God and to love him with all of it. And here's some things that the Bible says about ways that that can look, conversations we can have with him, approaches that we can make. First I want to make is we can worship him with our soul. The Bible says we've got actually the capacity for our soul to worship him. Look at a couple of verses here. Luke 1, 46 through 47. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. You know, there's something different when your mouth glorifies the Lord and when there's deep-rooted feels. There, it's deep in there. And you, something is, oh, my soul glorifies the Lord. There is a difference between us going through the motions and our soul connecting. The real us, the real deep us, the deep waters us, connecting with God's purposes, connecting with what he's, with who he is, with what he wants. I want us to go on the journey of going deeper than saying the words. I think saying the words is a good jump start. Saying the words is way better than not saying them. But let's say them and recognize the hollowness. And then go, oh God, how does my soul glorify you? How do I get to a point where my soul glorifies the Lord? And I just wonder if I've ever even done that. Lord, I want to go on a journey. I don't want to look at this and go, oh, them just neat, you know, poetic words in the Bible. I don't think so. I think these are instructions for how to do the greatest commandment. I really believe it. Having stared at it now for a month, 6 weeks, stared at these verses about the soul, I think these are actually components of instruction of how to do the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our soul. I think there's a journey. I think there's information. There's conversation we can have with the Lord. Psalm 108, verse 1. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. What does it look like for our souls to connect with the Lord? For our soul to make music. It's not just happening with the instrument. It's not just happening with the voice. The deep inner self, the you that's really you, the eternal you, is making a song to the Lord. I want to camp out there for a while. I want to get some revelation on that, that my soul would make music to the Lord. These are beautiful phrases that I want to say it again. I think we would make a mistake to just write them off as poetic language. I think these are actual introductions, on-ramps to encounter the Lord in a deeper way. Our soul can rejoice. Psalm 35, verse 9. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My soul rejoice. If for nothing else related to these verses, I want to be more in touch with what I'm doing. I want to figure out, is this one of those moments where my soul is engaged or am I going through the motions? And are there varying degrees? Because I kind of think there probably are. Is there like, my soul's 10% engaged right now? You know, 25%. I want all my soul, because see, that's the commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, meaning you could actually love the Lord your God with 10% of it, or 50%, or 90%. I want to love him with all my soul. So wherever we're at in our getting in touch with the way that our deep inner self is connecting with the Lord, I want that to deepen. I want to go deeper. I mean, this whole series is on deeper. The whole series is God, help us to really, really, really love you. And after that, help us get even better at it, to really love the Lord. And I'm just looking at this and going, the soul, to love the Lord our God with all our soul. It's deep waters. Our souls can reach for God. I don't know that there's a better way to express the greatest commandment than to have our soul reach for him. The thing that he made that's unique to us, that's so different from everybody else. The thing that he made that's the very essence of us, the uniqueness, the dream in God's heart, which became a person, became a personality, became a you, for the depths of us to reach for God. I just think this is really where it's really at. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19. Now devote your heart and devote your soul to seeking the Lord your God. What a great Bible verse to pray and talk to Jesus about. Oh God, help me to devote my soul to seeking you. Help me to seek you at the soul level. We are complex creatures. You know, you're going to live forever and do stuff forever. How foolish to think we've got ourselves figured out. To think that we know all there is to know about what it means to be human. I'll tell you, we're going to be figuring that out in a billion years. I want to go on the journey. What does it look like, Lord, for me to devote not my actions, not my lifestyle, not my mind? What does it look like to devote my soul to seeking you? Help me to learn how to do that. You know, there's a lot of things in the Lord that until you've heard of them for the first time, you didn't even know they existed. You know, I can remember, you know, all over the years, people being like, I didn't even know God had a voice. That was Luke's great quote. You know, I love Luke Cooper's quote early on in his discipleship. He's like, I didn't even know God had a voice. And now Luke knows how to hear the voice of the Lord, and he's growing in that and growing and growing and growing. But there was a day where he was like, well, I'll be darned, there's a new part of Christianity I was completely unaware of. There is something I didn't even know that could happen. I wonder if we're there right now, today, related to the way that our soul interacts with God, related to the depths of it. I wonder. We can pour out our soul. Look at 1 Samuel 1:15. This is Hannah talking about she wants a baby. It says this, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Pouring out my soul. What does that look like? I'm not just praying, not just crying. Those things can happen too, but a soul like a jar being poured out to the Lord. Lord, help us to know what it is to pour out our soul. How does that look different than just praying? How does that look different than just, you know, what? I mean, it's a deep, deep reach. It's something that takes God to even empower. I mean, to even know the path. How do we love him with all our heart, soul? How do we love him with all our soul if we don't even know what it is or how it works or what we do with it? I don't think we can. I think we can get good at loving him with all of our heart, mind, and strength and graduate at the end of this age and stand before the Lord and him go, how'd you do on that soul thing? I don't know. What's a soul? I don't know how to love you with that. It was so nebulous. Like, well, did you just look at the Bible for every time I said the word soul? That would have been a good start. Oh, I never thought to do that. Well, let's do it. Let's go on a journey. Let's see what the Bible says about our soul and then figure out how to give it to him, how to love him with it, with all of it. Psalm 84, verse 2, my soul yearns. A soul yearn. I want my soul to yearn. I want to experience a soul yearn. That sounds cooler than a vision. I want to have a soul yearn. You ever pray for that? Lord, I want my soul to yearn, even faint, for the courts of the Lord. a soul yearn. Doesn't that just is as deep as it gets, right? Something deep, deep, deep that's yearning out, that's reaching out for God. Lord, teach us to have our souls to yearn for you, for your things, for your purposes, for your house. Help our souls to yearn. I just look at that and it's like, I think most of us, we probably read these verses and like, neat language. Next. No, I think we need to camp out and go, Lord, what does it mean for my soul to yearn for you? Next, Psalm 42, verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. One thing I'm positive of, now there's a lot that I am not sure about a lot of this. One thing I'm positive of, it is going to be impossible for us to love God with all our soul if we don't know how to get our soul to thirst for him, to yearn for him. There is no version of us doing the greatest commandment related to the soul part unless we can figure out what this is, because we've got now a picture of something bigger. We've got now a picture of something greater. I mean, it's like I can remember, being in Christ in those early days, and the first time, I don't remember the occasion, I just remember the thought process hitting me. The first time that I heard of somebody giving more than 10% of their money. And I was like, you can do that? There's a more? There's a way to do more? The Bible just 10%, a tithe. I'm doing that. There's more? There's more. Your soul can yearn and thirst. So wherever you were at yesterday related to the greatest commandment and your soul, let me tell you this. There's a way for your soul to yearn and to thirst and to pant. 42 verse 1, just right before it. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. What in the world is happening here? Our souls to be in such a position, just think about that deer that's like it's been running, maybe it was running away from whatever wants to eat a deer, and it's running, 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 and finally finds, no, I haven't even found the water yet, but it's thirsty. It's like, okay, I'm running around out in the woods, the bear was going to get me, coyote, whatever, cougar, and now I got away, but I'm out in the woods, and I'm thirsty, and I'm about to die. And the picture here is, I'm about to die if I don't get God. Deep, deep drink of God. My soul pants for the living God. I mean, these are love language words. These are longing, affectionate, passionate, deep waters. If we're going to love him with all of our soul, we need to figure out what these words mean. And I think the first thing, just as a practical point for us, let's just tell him, Father, I have no idea. Don't assume you know anything. Lord, help me. What does it look like for my soul to thirst, pant, yearn? I'm so thankful for those creatives. They use the craziest language and get us all provoked. Oh God, what does it look like for my soul to yearn, to pant like I'm going to die if I don't get you? How do I do something in my soul? What do we have to do? What kind of interaction do we have to be having? What kind of fasting regimented plan do I need to be on so that my soul is panting? And I'm not saying the words, my soul is panting. How do I get there? What does life need to look? How do we make that happen, God? Because I want that. I want to be of no use to anybody. I want my soul to pant for the living God. And I can just tell you this, them soul panters, they're useful to everybody. Because, man, their souls are just alive and interacting with God, and they just ooze. They say one word, and you're just like, oh. Oh, I look at these verses, and I'm like, I am a child. I know nothing. I'm leading a house of prayer, and I have no idea what these words mean. I'm like, what does it mean for my soul to pant? I sing it. It's like, so my soul longeth after thee. I don't think so. I think I'm singing words. And I want to love the Lord my God with all my soul. So there's some things here that we need to identify as new, perhaps, or at least deeper truths than what we had initially considered them to be. Because the subject of the soul in the Bible, if you just go ahead and do your Bible Gateway soul search, you will find yourself a treasure trove. There is so much about the soul. So much. I mean, I got like 7 or 8 pages of notes. We're out of time. I'm not going to get to any of them. It's just a piece of it. There's so much about the soul. Why? Because I think the Lord was giving us little breadcrumbs on how to love him with all of our soul. And again, I'll say it again. I just think of the four, heart, soul, mind, and strength, I think the soul, it's the most mysterious. I think it's the one that's going to require the deepest reach. Our souls can be resolute, not just worship. We were just looking at how our souls can worship. Our souls can be resolute. There is so much capacity in your soul. Look at, before we even get to that, I just want to give us 1 Peter 2:25. Now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's not think about that related to salvation. Let's think about it as a guide. Yes, salvation. But let's think about the overseer of our souls. If the greatest commandment is to love him with all our soul, I sure am glad there's somebody that understands my soul and can oversee. I sure am glad there's somebody who's got my back, who's watching over me, who understands my inner depths and my personality and how he made me, who knows me, who can actually help me on the journey of loving God back with all of my soul. I'm grateful. The overseer of our souls. That phrase to me, it was just stuck out. That there's one who can actually help us on this journey of the nebula of our soul, the overseer of our souls. The one who knows us, who made us, who formed us, who likes us, whose idea we were to begin with. There's one who can help us in this. All right, well, let's talk about how our souls can be resolute. They can be consumed. In Psalm 119, verse 20, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. A soul consumed with something good is a soul set, is a soul filled, is a soul embracing, is a soul reaching. Our souls, I want that. To have my soul consumed. Look at Hebrews 6:19. It's impossible for God to lie. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. There's such things as anchors for our soul so that it won't float away, so that our souls won't wind up in places that are unhealthy. There's anchors. There's a way for our soul to be stable, steady, anchored, set, secure, which then implies there's lots and lots and lots and lots of ways for our souls to not be. I want my soul settled. I don't want my soul just bebopping all around. I want to be anchored, to have my heart and my soul resolute. Judges 5:21, I love it when Deborah gets to say her piece. She says this, march on, my soul, be strong. We've all experienced times where there's great difficulty about us. And if our physical strength is there or is not to take on the task, there are times where our soul just can't bear it. Our soul is like, I cannot even handle that today. I cannot eat. There's something deep. It's like, well, you got enough sleep last night. you've been eating, so you've got the physical strength to do it. Like, your mind is aware how to handle it. I just can't even. If you've ever had an authentic I can't even, it's probably your soul. Your soul is like, nope, done, done. Speaking to our soul and saying, soul, march on. Be strong. Lord, lift up my soul that is just stuck, dead in the water, not moving. God, give my soul strength to press on. See, because it's the you that's you, the real you, inner you, eternal you, essence of you. Like, when it gets down to it, it's your soul. We have got to get the Lord helping us. We got to get understanding here. Psalm 62, verse 5. I skipped one, just so you know. Psalm 62, verse 5. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Find rest, my soul, in God. Not find rest in my circumstances, not find rest in any other thing, but that my soul would be able to find rest in God. You know what's really cool about that idea? Just let me give you this. During the worst day of the Great Tribulation, God is unfazed. He's the same. If we can find rest for our soul in God, your circumstances matter not. If you can have your soul resting in God, just imagine that, if you can, that you pick up your soul and you put it in God's lap, and there's tornadoes and angry creatures and everything all around, a tornado all around. God's just like, he's just chill. He's all happy. He sit there holding your soul. Find rest, oh my soul, in God. I mean, that's a great dialogue point for a lot of you. All the difficulties. Stop thinking about the external and go deep, deep, deep inside and go, God, help me find rest for my soul in you. Because you know what? A soul at rest, you'll be gold. Whatever else is going on. Just think about this. Whatever horrific things might happen, you have God for eternity. God. And he likes you. You have God forever, and he's happy about the deal. Yeah, but I had this thing happen. Yeah, but you have God? I'm not real sure you'll remember that thing. No, it was really bad. It might be triple bad. In a million years, I'm not real sure you're ever going to be thinking about that bad thing that just happened last week. But however bad it was, you have God. Let's get our souls resting in him. See, this subject of loving him with all of our soul, I think it's where we might need the most instruction, the most journey, the most reaching to understand, because that sounds glorious to live like that. And I just don't think we can be honest. I think the angels would kind of snicker at us a little bit, like, I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heart, mind, strength, sort of. Kind of fibbing that one. But soul, come on now. Come on, son. Let's see about that one. I don't know. Do you really love him with all your soul? I think we need to go on a journey to even figure out what that looks like. And I think that maybe a ridiculously long series on the greatest commandment maybe is even the only way to wind up with a session to talk about the fact that we don't even know what our soul is. Like, to even get to the point of exposure to go, these are deep waters that I've been like way up on the top surface just splashing around in the water a little bit, but there are depths of the soul I know not of. Maybe it's a gift that we're here today going, okay, Lord, lead us, teach us, instruct us, and give us rest for our souls that we might love you with all our soul.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.